the New podcast with James Don and Mike EQ. It's that new.
Southside Jamaica neighbor, yeah, that's where I come from. Southside Jamaica neighbor, yeah, that's where I come from. Southside Jamaica neighbor, yeah, that's where I come from. Southside Jamaica neighbor, yeah, that's where I come from. Southside Jamaica neighbor, yeah, that's where I come from. Southside Jamaica neighbor, yeah, that's where I come from.
Tonight.
Anytime I play back that Cameron and 50 Cent like interview, I die laughing. When he said, I'm just saying, you could shut down diplomat projects. 50 stopped, and I know he looked at Angie. He stopped and said, I mean, Cam, do you really want that? And Cameron said, no, I'm just asking, can you do it? Like, that was funny. Like, you know, Cam was very curious as to if 50 could actually shut down a diplomat project. You know what I mean? So,
nah, that shit was funny as hell.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember that shit too. When the interview first happened,
I was listening live.
Me too.
I was listening live. I had my little, I had a radio, mm-hmm. like one of them little small pocket radios.
Mm-hmm.
That, so, like, you know, because I haven't enough money to have my MP3 player yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was using this little small, like, radio, you know, that just, like, you know, FM radio or whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
And after school, I would, you know, I'll come home and I'll turn on my radio, you know, like, as I'm going home, you know. I was in high school when it happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening on the train because mm-hmm. I used to take the train outside. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy what's going on right now. Because first he was talking to Styles.
Yeah.
And then after he was done with Styles,
mm-hmm.
he went to Cam. Mm-hmm. But Alan Grumblot picked up the phone for Cam. Like, you know, or actually Alan called 50, I think.
Yeah.
And then 50 was just like, I mean, diplomats are cool, but can you put Cameron on the phone? He asked him nice the first time.
Yeah.
Alan Grumblot totally ignored him. Right? So now 50 wasn't nice.
Yeah.
50 really hit him with the, put Cameron on the phone. Second time. Huh?
He's like, put Cameron on the phone.
Yeah, and Alan kept talking. He said, what, you want to be on the air like an artist? Yo, that was funny. Hey, yo, hold on a second. We're here. Welcome to the new. Shout out to everybody that's listening to or from their second, third, fourth, or fifth Valentine's Day date. if you're listening to this in the future, I hope you guys had a great Valentine's Day. I hope those ideas that we gave you last week or this week were helpful. And, you know, let us know your success stories. Donnie, what up, man?
Yo, what's good, man?
You know, we out here. We outside, as the kids say now.
I say, that's what they say. We outside. Niggas know my body.
Yo, right, can I just say something publicly on this podcast? The saying X, Y, and Z is on my body.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of crazy when y'all talking about dudes. I'm just saying, you know. I'm not being... See, they're going to accuse us. They're going to accuse us of being homophobic. Oh, you can't say that. You know, I'm not trying to be homophobic, okay? That's not my intention. I'm just saying, if you're not gay, okay, telling another man or saying that another man is on your body is a little suspect to me.
Yeah, like, what do you mean by that?
like, if you're referring to, like, I say jokingly now, like, a lot, you know, especially talking about women, okay? Right. I should say only talking about women, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, she was on my body, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was trying to talk to me to stand a third, you know, she was on my body, bro. Like, right. I can understand that.
Right, I can understand that terminology, right.
I can't understand when, you know, when dudes say, yo, you know my body. Like, huh?
Excuse me?
Am
I supposed to be scared by that?
Yeah, why would I know your anatomy?
Yeah. Like, are you asking me if I know your anatomy? Right, like, what is that? Like, you know, like how, like, is that supposed to set it off, like for us to go to blows, like, yeah. I know your body, like, what?
Yeah, you're supposed to tussle after that.
Oh, man.
You're supposed to engage in physical altercation.
Okay, I mean, hey, this generation, I can't knock it. But I wouldn't be out there saying that, but Yeah, I guess that's the new wave. That's the kids nowadays.
Yeah, so you mentioned, like, you know, that's just this generation, right? You know, and I gotta ask you something about this generation and how they look at a certain topic that you should be very familiar with, mm-hmm. Right now. So as you know, you have a baby girl on the way,
right?
Or as everybody else knows, of course, you know, you know. So what I've been seeing a lot lately is it's now like politically incorrect to say that, like, you know, for example, you're having a girl, you know, you're supposed to, the correct term is to refer to them as, the assigned gender of my baby is a girl. Like, they don't want you to say that, you know, you're having a girl or you're having a boy. They want you to say, oh, the assigned gender of my child is a boy, or the assigned gender of my child is a girl. Basically insinuating that we are not allowed to make the decision that that's a boy or that's a girl, mm-hmm. that they have to have, like, they need to be able to make that decision whether they want to be a girl or they want to be a boy, no matter what they're born as. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have some strong opinions on that topic. So before we get to our locks review, which we are finally going to get to on this episode, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that topic.
Sure, man.
As a future father, of course.
Definitely. You know, man, you know how I feel, pretty much. I think the rest of you guys out there do, and I might get a little hate and a little flack for this. And I don't mean it any type of way or to offend anybody, anything like that, but, I mean, you know, like, first of all, assigned gender? What am I, what is this, like, I'm assigning a gender to my baby? Like, I mean, you know, come on, like,
yeah.
You know, the bottom line is that she's gonna be a girl. I mean, you know, like,
but they'll tell you that that's wrong of you. Like, yeah. And again, you're a father, so right. Like, you know, I don't feel like they should be able to tell you right. That's wrong or whatever. But society is mm-hmm. gonna tell you, oh, it's wrong to say that, you know, that she's just automatically a girl. Does she want to be a girl? Did you ask if she wants to be a girl? Like, you know, that's how they're gonna come at you.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the problem, in my opinion, with society today is that, again, we spoke about it on another podcast, about, you know, the world is just too sensitive. I don't know if it's the world, maybe I'll say America, right now is just too sensitive. It's like, since when do we get from where we know, okay, boy has a penis, girl has a vagina?
Right.
Like, where do we get from where that no longer means that now? I mean, like, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, if your baby has a vagina, it's a girl. You know, if your baby has a penis, it's a boy. The thing about it is, you know, when she gets older, mm-hmm. and she decides or whatever that she, you know, she identifies as a male, then fine. You know, I will be with her every step of the way.
Okay.
And support her. But, I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is, like I said, she's going to be born. She's not going to born into this world. She doesn't know her left arm from her right arm. So what is it? Am I going to get in trouble now? Or should I say, oh, that's her assigned left arm? Is her assigned right leg? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think it's, you know, more so it goes down to the equality thing that everybody, you know, talks about. You know, they want everybody to have an equal opportunity to be whatever they want to be, whether they want to be a girl, whether they want to be a boy, doesn't matter mm-hmm. what they was actually born as, mm-hmm. you know, according to society, it's whatever they feel like being. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think I need to, like, okay, if I'm telling you I'm having a baby girl, I'm not going to say, hey, Donnie, I'm having my assigned gender, the assigned gender of my child is a girl. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm just going to tell you, I'm having a baby girl, you know, like,
right.
I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? And they might say, well, it's not for you to get. Well, then who is it to get? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I don't understand.
Right.
Okay. I don't get why we have to go back and just change everything. Now, on the flip side, right, because we have to be fair, right, on the flip side of that, they might say that, you know, like, basically, we're going back and changing everything that, like, we grew to know, like, and now they're trying to make it seem like it's normal, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay, like, that's the way that, you know, life is. Because the kids that's growing up today, like, and the ones that's being born now, they're going to think this is, like, how it's always been, you know, or, like, that's how it's supposed to be, like, it's normal. Now, it's not. But, again, I guarantee there's people that's going to say, well, you know, racism was normal or whatever, being a racist, homophobic bigot was normal, you know, before. And we changed that, you know, we, you know, so, like, they're saying, you know, basically they're trying to correlate the two that, you know, what was all right 100 years ago is not all right today. So just because it was okay to say that you was having a girl or having a boy before, you know, it was all right, doesn't mean that going forward it should be. I just don't see the point in saying if they want to be a girl or they want to be a boy once they are old enough to make that decision, then okay, fine.
Right.
I don't feel like we should change the rules of everything, you know, or just like normalize assigned gender, the term assigned gender, you know what I'm saying, for everything.
Right. You know, again, like my thing with it is like, I don't even want to say like, I guess I would say like the LG... And just forgive me for this.
Help me out. LGBQT.
The community. You know, they're so concerned about like being accepted, and you know, and that's fine. Like that's understandable. And I feel like for the most part, we're in 2020. I mean, it's like, you know, how much. Oh, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know how big it is or whether, you know, people are still being, like, facing inequality.
Yeah.
And maybe they are, and they probably are, but...
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they are. So we'll just leave it at that. But, at the same time frame, you know, I guess what gets me angry with it is, like, oh, look, no, you have to, not only accept it, but you have to live your life in a way where... It's being fair to me. Why do I have to live my life in accordance to you?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's like, I get it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just because I accept it doesn't mean that I have to practice that, or preach that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to catch flack because, you know, either way you put it or whatever, you're going to get flack.
Yeah.
But, that's just my standpoint on it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you, you know, you want to be accepted, okay, cool, I'll give you that. But then at the same time frame, it's like, oh, I should be not now, you know, like grooming my daughter to be a girly girl.
Right.
Like, yeah. I shouldn't let her, you know, I should give her both options.
Yeah, they want you to, so like... They want you to give her, maybe give her a Barbie, but then give her a truck and see which one, you know, she reacts to, you know, more, you know what I'm saying? Which one does she take to more?
Right.
You know, giving her options, and that they want to normalize that, you know, like.
Right.
When I was a kid, right, like, you know, I grew up wanting, there was this Hess truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I remember this, that's how much, like, I wanted the truck.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be like 4 or 5. And I remember there was this green Hess truck that I wanted my mother to buy for me, you know, for Christmas. And she finally got it for me, and I was so happy. You know, like, these are things, like, as a boy, you know, it's not, like, this is not something that society wants me to say. But, like, as a boy, that is what you wanted. You know, you wanted to play with trucks, and like I had a train thing that went all around my room, you know, and I had fun putting it together with my pops, you know, like things like that. I'm into wrestling, right? We had like the wrestling action figures. We used to fight with the action figures. Half of my action figures that I had, the heads was broken off, the arms was broken off because they was fighting each other, you know. That was like kind of like mentally like training you as to what society at the time expected from young men. You know, now they're changing that. And again, like, the idea is, okay, just because that was acceptable 20 years ago, and that's what they, you know, boys were expected to do 20 years ago, it wasn't fair to the whole LGBTQ community, you know, and we should let them choose and now don't force it. Like, I wasn't forced to play with trucks. I wanted to.
Right.
You know, I wasn't forced to, like, you know, want to play video games and be outside with my friends playing, you know, like tag and, you know, just like play fighting and, you know, all of that mm-hmm. stuff like that boys back then did. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to like play with Barbie dolls and stuff like that. That's not what I wanted. And when I was a kid, it wasn't normal for boys to play with Barbie dolls. Mm-hmm. That just wasn't a normal thing. Right. And now it's like, I'm going to be crucified if I say it's not normal for boys wanting to play with dolls. Like, right. you know what I'm saying? But no, I can't say that. Right. And I can't say, no, what's wrong with it? You know, why can't he play with dolls? Why can't you let him choose?
Right. Like my whole thing is like, I know we got to move on.
Yeah.
Like, what you were saying is like, okay, let's say I'm out in public, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm trying to like think of it as like a scenario, like to where like it would work. But like, let's say like, somebody from that community, right?
Yeah.
Just randomly gifted my daughter, like in a very, masculine-esque action figure.
Okay.
Right, something that, you know, I would have played with as a kid.
Yeah.
Whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then I say, oh, no, she's good, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they go into this big tirade about how, oh, I'm being, like, sexist and I should allow her to play with both. My whole thing is, like, why you have a problem with that? I'm not saying that I have a problem with her playing with that if she requested it or if she said, hey, you know, dad, like, I want that or whatever, then cool. But if she's sitting there saying she doesn't want it and then you're, like, telling – and then I say, oh, no, I'm good. And then you're telling me, like, oh, see, I'm – you know, I should start doing this and that. Like, don't tell me how to, like
– raise your child.
Yeah, like, my child, and don't tell me how to, like, you know – live my life,
right?
Or which, you know, which way I should be living. That's just my thing on it, man. You know, like, I can accept it, but I don't have to, like I said, practice and preach it,
right? And let us know what you think about it. I'm sure we get, anytime we do these type of topics, we get a lot of feedback, you know, or a lot of people upset, you know. But it's like, we have the right to have our opinion. We have a platform here, and we're going to state how we feel about it. We're also going to state how we feel about the Lox album. That's been a topic that, okay, I'm going to have full disclosure with you guys. We recorded it last week for last week's podcast, and the audio, for whatever reason, got like messed up towards the end. So we're going to try to just give you guys a quick overview, because there is one last topic that me and James Dawn want to talk about before we get out of here tonight. But... or today, or this afternoon, whenever you guys are listening to this. See how I call myself. and that's the Lox album. We're going to talk about the Lox. I mean, excuse me. And that's a list that came out a few days ago as we record this. And it's the top 50 female rappers of all time. We'll get to that at the end. But right now, we're just going to revisit the Lox album real quick. First of all, what was your overall reception to the We Are The Streets 2000 Lox album, Jada Kiss Styles and Chic Looch?
Again, I probably said this in the first one we recorded, but Lox, definitely my favorite rap group of all time. Styles P, for those who don't know, is my favorite rapper of all time. So right off the bat, I'm going to like it. But definitely... just from listening to it and actually listening to the bars and the music, I think it was fire, man. I love that album.
So we have this thing on this podcast that we're going to shout out to James Dawn. It's called Fire or Water. So the We Are The Streets album gets a fire for you.
Yeah.
All right. So looking at this album, and I'll give my my opinion in a second on that. Looking at this album, a few standout songs that... you know, pop out to me are Fuck You. Okay, that's one of the records I'm like, I, you know, even to this day, still feels good, you know, when I hear it. Mm-hmm. Wild Out, big record. You know what I'm saying? Wild Out was a big record. Blood Pressure, big record. Ride or Die, which they still use today on Hot 97 every morning here in New York City. You know, they still use it for their game show that they do. Yeah, I guess. I mean, the game that they do, called Ride or Die or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that just tells you cultural impact right there.
Right.
This album was produced heavily by Swiss Beatz, for the most part. The critical reception was pretty good. I think it got on all hip hop, it was like a B plus or something, if I remember correctly. I don't have all the numbers right here just because this is a re-recording. We're just trying to go through it, you know, quickly. I'm sorry we're not spending that much time on it this time, but it's not y'all fault that you didn't hear it, but sorry, we just, you know, I kind of want to get to this top 50 list because we got opinions on that also. But yeah, I think it aged well. Back in that time period, 2000, I was not purchasing albums yet. I wasn't old enough to purchase albums, so I didn't hear it when it first came out. Mm-hmm. I heard it as the years go on. I heard songs off of it, yes, mm-hmm. but I didn't actually hear it when it first came out. So, you know, and they didn't release another album together until like 2013, like an album. Right. They had mixtapes. But I think it was like 13 years later when they came together and did another album.
Yeah, I think that was that, I don't know if the album was called No Security.
Let's see. Talk to people out.
Yeah. I mean, when I think about that album, man, and where I was at the time, I was pretty much in the same boat. I didn't really buy albums. I was in like the fifth grade or some shit.
Okay.
So I don't think I listened to it, like, you know, like the whole album, but I definitely remember songs. And my pops has always been a heavy hip hop head, so whenever he would come pick me up from school or whatever, you know, he would be bumping some from that nature. So okay. Definitely remember, you know, songs from that album. And then when I got, of course, old enough to go back and listen, Fire. And again, like I said, like anything that those three step on, especially all together, is always, to me, in my opinion, gonna be fire.
Yeah, so it sold over 500,000 copies, certified gold, and The Trinity was the album in 2013 that came out. The mm-hmm. Trinity. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the Locks, man. Been doing it like 25 years now at this point?
Yeah, because we're in 2020. Yeah. It might... When did they come in the game? 96? Yeah, 96. Sure. So, yeah.
Just about 25 years in the game. That's impressive. And the Trinity was only like... It was only like 14 minutes long. Like, it wasn't even... 14 minutes and 48 seconds. I guess it was an EP that they did together. It says here via Wikipedia... that it was the first release in over 13 years. The EP features guest appearances from Tyler Woods and Dice Payne. And the critical reception, Hip Hop DX gave it a 3 out of 5 stars. So, but as far as the We Are the Streets album, I think it did survive the test of time, you know. And I will say it was fire, you know. I think it was fire. Definitely a great effort from the Locks. Mm-hmm. And you know, it kind of propelled the careers individually of Jada, Styles, and Sheik, you know. They all went on to solo projects after that. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jada's one of my favorite rappers, you know, of all time. So you know, shout out to Styles, shout out to Sheik, but I was always more drawn to you know what I mean? So,
so raspy.
Yeah. Top 5 Dead or Alive. That's all for just one LP. That's the line. All right, but yeah, shout out to Jadakiss. And speaking of top 5, right? We have the top 50 greatest female rappers of all time. A list circulated from I'm going to give them credit. They're verified on Twitter, so somebody verified this channel or this page or whatever we're calling it in today's society. Mm-hmm. It's 50/50 Inner Entertainment, I guess is how you would say it.
Okay.
And they're the ones that actually published this list. So let me just, I'm not going to give all 50, but I'll give a certain, like, I'll give, like, obviously the top 10 and then some of the standouts mm-hmm. As we go on. And then I'll let James Dawn start us off with how he feels about this. Okay. You know, as a hip hop connoisseur. Mm-hmm.
We'll deliberate.
All right. So we have at number 1, Nicki Minaj. Number 2, Missy Elliott. Number 3, Lil Kim. Number 4, Queen Latifah. Number 5, Lauryn Hill. 6, Eve. 7, Salt-N-Pepa. 8, MC Light. I already see a problem here. 9, Left Eye. RIP. Mm-hmm. And number 10, Young M.A. Mm-hmm. Some notable names. Remy, 14. Cardi B, 15. Megan Thee Stallion, 16. Mm-hmm. Rod Digga, 17. People were up in arms about this. Janelle Monáe, 19. But Little Mama is 21. Asian Doll is 22. Let me see who else on this list is. Deja Lo, 28. Lady of Rage, 36. Let's see who else. Okay, Angie Martinez, 46. Rhapsody, 47. And Kaya, or Kia, however, I think it's pronounced Kaya. Kaya at 48. Deliberate.
Deliberate. Yeah, I mean, right off the bat, I don't know, man. The first person you had on there, or they had on there, rather, was Nicki Minaj.
Yes, Onika Tanya Mirage.
I mean, yo, she got some fire bars. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, man. Like, she's fire.
Did you like Yikes, the new song that she just did?
Oh, man. Was you playing that earlier
today?
Yeah,
we played that.
Okay, yeah. That was fire.
Yeah, I thought it was hard.
Yeah, I mean, she always had, like bars. Like, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I would just put out number one. I mean, like, if we're talking about, like, a whole just body.
Yeah.
Like everybody's body of work. Yeah, well, I mean...
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
So, if we're talking about, like, the body of their work, man, like, as a whole, I don't know, man. I don't know if I would put her in the top. Because then you said you had Lauren, that they had Lauryn Hill
Lauren's
there.
Lauren's at 5. Kim is at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Missy's at 2.
Like, Kim, I mean, like, I know she's not who she used to be, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I can't really put them all in. Here's the thing. Like, I can't put them all in the order specifically right now off the top of my head.
Right.
But I would have it differently. I wouldn't have Nicki Minaj being number one.
Who would you have number one then?
Number one out of everybody. Damn.
The Dawn is thinking here.
Oh, man. It would even be between...
You need a list?
Okay. Yeah. Let me take a look at that real quick.
So, as he looks at this list, I'm actually going to disagree with the Don. I think that Nicki is deserving at number one, just looking at the rest of this list. I don't know about the rest of the list, but if we're talking sales, if we're talking bars, if we're talking cultural impact, if we're talking longevity, there's not many women that have that on there, you know, especially not more than Nicki Minaj, you know, and I'm not calling Cardi B. Cardi B, I think, is before Megan Thee Stallion. Megan Thee Stallion raps better than Cardi B. Already at this point in her career, Megan Thee Stallion is better than Cardi B. So, but if we're talking sales and popularity and culture impact, Cardi is more successful than Megan Thee Stallion at this point. You know, but if Megan continues to, you know, if she continues on her upward trajectory, then I think Megan could be in that top 10 category, but she's not there yet. But as the Don has looked at the list, I think he's ready to tell us a little bit of how he would have did it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I might have to put Lil' Kim number one, but. I don't know. Like, I mean, now that you, like, the way you, like, explained it just now.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like Nicki Minaj would definitely be, if she's, it would be between the two of them, basically.
Between Kim and Nicki?
And Nicki, yeah. It would be between the two of them. Even though I know they got Lauryn Hill here, like, it's hard, man.
And this is, and I've had this conversation with somebody else about Lauren. If you're listening, you know who you are. I don't know if she wants me to say her name on the podcast, but you know who you are. We had this conversation at work a few weeks back about Lauryn Hill. And my thing is, if if you're gonna judge Lauryn Hill just based on her solo career, thanks. If you're gonna judge her just based on her solo career, no, she does not have a better career than Nicki Minaj. Like, no one could tell me she has a better career than Nicki Minaj. No. If we're talking based on what, two albums, she has The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill and then the Fugees album, right? I think she only had one solo album. I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, sure. But I think it's one solo album. Mm-hmm. Yes, that solo album is amazing, but it's one album. I'm not giving you that. And it's what this person said to me was, well, how are we putting Biggie in that conversation if, like, of the greatest male rappers of all time, people still regard him as the greatest if he only had two albums as well.
Right.
After Death and Ready to Die. So if you're going to exclude Lauryn because she only has two albums, then why aren't we excluding Biggie? And I looked at her. I said, damn, you're good. Get on a podcast. And she said, go screw yourself. Nah, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. But she said when we get a topic that she really wants to talk about, she'll get on. So maybe we can work out the logistics behind that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and she made a good point. My argument is cultural impact, right? With those two albums. Now, again, Biggie passed away. And I don't know what the reception would be if he was still alive. But we have to take facts. We have to use facts and not, like, what-if scenarios.
Right.
So, because of the cultural impact that Biggie had in those two albums, that's why we regard him as, like, the greatest. You know, most of us regard him as the greatest of all time, even though he only had two albums, you know. Lauryn, I don't think her cultural impact was as big as Biggie Smalls. Like, I'm keeping it 100. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So that's why I'm not excluding her. She definitely deserves to be on the list. But when you talk about Lauryn, I'm not gonna put her over Nicki. I'm not putting Lauryn over Kim. You know, I think Lauryn, if I was doing this list, it'd probably be Nicki, Kim, Missy. Again, cultural impact, sales, you know, longevity, all of that goes into
definitely
it
up there. Yeah.
Missy, and then maybe Lauryn, right? I'd put Lauryn maybe after Missy, you know, when we talk about that. And then they got Queen Latifah. Okay, I put Queen Latifah up there. Why not? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to run down her discography, but, like, you know, I know that a cultural impact is important. You know what I'm saying? So, go ahead.
They had Remy Ma. I mean, I would put her up there, too.
In the top 10?
Her, like... Yeah, I mean, like, when you talk about it in the overall, I don't know. I mean, well, she's had some pretty good success or whatever.
But top 10?
Yeah, man. I mean, her bars, like, I'm thinking about bars. Like, when you go into the bars, like, yeah, bro, gotta put her in the top 10. I mean, because who, like, in her top 10, right?
Yeah.
Who you got over her, I mean, outside of the obvious.
Over,
like,
Remy?
Like, you got Eve over Remy?
No, I don't have, and I don't think Eve should be in this top 10. They're going to kill me, but I don't care. I don't think Eve should be in the top 10. Now, yeah, she did transition to movies. Okay, Eve is one of the most popular female rappers, yes. But
she had bars, too.
She did. I'm not discrediting that, you know, and what she was able to do, you know, with her music career is phenomenal. I don't think she's top 10. She might be in the 10 through 20 tier. Remember, I do mine's like tiers. So, like, you know, I would have her in that tier. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Brat is on this list also. The Brat was huge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to DJ EBE. That was like her favorite rapper, you know, like when we was younger. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I see Salt and Pepper here at number 7. They're a group.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
automatically, I disqualify them. Yeah. They're a group.
I was going to say, like, and then they had Janelle Monáe. Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, Janelle Monáe was 19.
He's like, is she, I don't know. Like, am I bugging? Like, is she a rapper? Is she rap?
Yeah, she raps. I mean, she also sings.
Okay.
But, you know, she does rap.
Okay, my bad, because I'm like, when you said it, I'm like, okay.
I mean, I see Shauna here at number
23.
Like, you know what I mean? What has Shauna done? Like, and I'm not trying to, like, shit on her, but it's like, we had her in a one-hit wonder list. You know what I'm saying? Like, what has she done?
Yeah. I mean, maybe, like, there's probably, like, mixtapes, probably these people that we don't know about.
Of course.
That might be. Yeah, I don't know.
But how would they? But that's my thing, though. Like, if they're underground, we don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, not underground, but, like, if they're doing stuff that people aren't checking for, how are they in the top, you know?
Right, in the top anything. Yeah. Well, see, that's the whole thing that makes, like, top tens and top whatever, like, subjective, because it's, like, you know, like, one person can have, you know, this view and that type of view. But
yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, when we get round down to the nitty gritty and we start having to get, like, serious with ourselves and, like, real with ourselves.
Talk about it.
You know, the list would probably be way different.
Yeah.
Than what she's got there.
I think that this list is, like, I think it's good at some points. Like, I think she's right, or this person was right, whoever posted it from 5050 Entertainment. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Some of these are questionable. I mean, but it's hard to do a list of the top, like, 50 greatest female rappers. Let's be real with ourselves. Somebody put that in the comments. Like, you don't have 50 great female rappers. I'm so sorry to say that, but you don't. Like, you don't have 50 of them, because now you're starting to reach. A lot of these are reach.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I was thinking, too.
Mm-hmm. Do top 20. You know, you can find 20 great women, and for the most part, the top 20 here, it's not all horrible, but I would definitely switch around some people. I'd take Salt and Pepper out of this list because they're a group. Mm-hmm. MC Light deserves to be where she's at, though. I think MC Light's 8. I think she deserves that. Mm-hmm. Young M.A. rounds out the top 10 on this list.
Yeah.
At number 10.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with that.
Okay.
Because, yes, if we're just talking about bars,
mm-hmm.
maybe she's there. Mm-hmm. But my problem with Young M.A. is her flow. I feel like she hasn't found it. Like, okay, I think we was talking about this some other time. But, like, she was just on the Eminem album. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, Eminem, you know, is gonna, yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she was on, like, the second track on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, but she's rapping with Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hot verse, mm-hmm. but the flow just felt off.
Okay.
Now, yes, Eminem is a great rapper, so maybe that's why I just did not, you know, sync up with his, mm-hmm. you know, but Young M.A. should be able to hold herself on a beat. And, like, I've heard her last album, and, you know, because I'm a fan of M.A.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, she has a problem catching, like, the right flow. You know what I'm saying? Like, for the song. Like, I think she just wants to go out there and rap, and it's, like, the same Young M.A. flow. I never really hear her switch it up.
Yeah.
That's my problem with Young M.A. And I don't feel like she can make. She's not going to make another Ooh. Which I don't think she wants to, mm-hmm. but I think she's having a problem just finding something that's going to connect to the masses.
Yeah.
You know, and Young M.A., my issue with Young M.A., she should be top 10. Mm-hmm. She should be. If she had better management,
mm-hmm.
okay, and just better people around her, I think. You know, I think that's the problem with Young M.A. She just does not have the right people around her.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she did, she should be the most marketable female rapper of all time. The guys are going to love her because she's talking about, you know, like, you know, being with women and all of that, mm-hmm. right? And the women love her because, you know, they think she cute. Like, you know what I'm saying? So...
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Young M.A. blood, so Butte. So, but anyway, yeah, like, she should be one of the most marketable rappers of all time, and she's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think it's just because she's complacent where she's at, and mm-hmm. she doesn't want to switch it up.
Yeah.
So, like I said, this list is subjective. I think we both gave some great points on this. We might give them, like, our own list once we have a little bit more time to sit with this, some more, but anything else you want to add before we let these fine people go?
Hey, man, you know, keep it real with yourself, stay healthy out there, for real. You know, the coronavirus, I don't know if there's still an outbreak going on with that, but you know, definitely want to just make sure you staying healthy and doing the right things, eating the right things. And yeah, that's it, man.
That was very insightful. I love that.
Try, you know, switch it up. Have something good to say every now and again. Because I know they're going to hate me for the beginning.
All I got to say is drink more water, y'all. Just drink more water. Thank y'all for joining us on The New. And we'll see y'all next time.
Peace.